As we know, we started this series of sermons on spiritual warfare. And we are learning, I am anyway, and growing through this process. And so we're going back to that subject of spiritual warfare. We're not talking about physical warfare where you, you know, just say put up the dukes and just swinging at folks. I hope you don't do that no more anyway. I never did. We're talking about something that is spiritual, something that you cannot see. And we're talking about being victorious. Two or three weeks ago when we talked on this subject, we talked about the fact that we have to have a winning mindset. In athletics, you have to have that mindset that when I go in here, I'm going to do my best. Our team's going to win. You don't go in and say, oh, you know, I guess we'll just have to eat the popcorn and go home. No, no, we don't come that way. And even more so in spiritual warfare, it is amazing what God can do. Even as we sang that song, beautiful. I love that song. That's why I keep saying, we don't fight alone. You look around and say, well, who's with you there? God is. He says he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. I need some help this morning, not only in your prayers, but let me see the hands of you who know Latin. You took Latin in high school or took Latin in college. Maybe you can help me this morning. Now, I know it's no way for you to speak through, but I want you to tell me afterwards whether I got this right or not. And it goes like this. Christus Victor. Christus Victor. I interpret in my broken Latin to mean victory in Christ. That victory is in Jesus Christ. Victory in spiritual warfare is knowing Jesus Christ. That's my point today. That's what I want us to take out of this. That victory in spiritual warfare, this is warfare you don't see. See, the weapons of our warfare are invisible. They are spiritual. And victory in spiritual warfare is based upon knowing Jesus Christ. Not in our own power, not in our own might, but in his power and in his might, victorious. Let me say it again. Get this tongue straight, this tongue twister. Christus Victor. That's what we want. Victory in Jesus Christ. He is our victory. He is our strength. And he is each of our ability is a spiritual ability that he gives us to be able to overcome, to be able to be strong in the Lord. It comes from knowing Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, I know Jesus Christ. I know how to spell his name. I can speak it better than you. You probably can. But it's more than that. Knowing Jesus Christ is about a relationship. It is about knowing that person, knowing that that person, as we used to say in sports, well, I've got your back. Knowing that Jesus Christ not only has our back, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the start and the finish. Knowing him in that way, he's never failed us yet. You say, well, he didn't come when I wanted him to come. Well, remember that old song says, he may not come when you want him, but he was right on time. And if God is never late, he even uses our lateness. He even uses our not following through in time for our good. I remember being in Sam's Club. I think it was still Walmart at that time several years ago. And I went through the line, and I wasn't too happy about the line. The line stretched and stretched. And I got anxious and so forth. And when I went to the checkout, and after the checkout where they count how many, you know, cans of this or that you've got, the person gave me some advice. Says, how do you know what God was doing while you were in that line? She could tell, and I had to apologize. She could tell that I was anxious, that I was not resting. She says, you don't know what God was doing while you were standing here. you know, fuming about having to stand in line. And I really learned a lesson from that. More than it's just God may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. But that he is at work. He is at work in our lives. And there's more going on in us and around us than we can see. And we need to trust that God is in control of everything. Do you realize that God is even in control of the devil? We're talking spiritual warfare here. But God is even in control of the devil. Do you realize when you read the book of Job that Satan had to get permission from God to afflict Job? Imagine that. You say, well, why would God have and use the devil? Because God is in control of everything. And God even uses the devil to accomplish his glory. See, one day we don't understand, but one day you say, oh, that's why you had Satan there. Even though he was evil, God used him. God's not evil, but God is in control of everything. So when we talk about the spiritual warfare that we're in, and we talk about our victory being in Jesus Christ, you can't see Jesus Christ, but by faith, you know he is there. And we put our faith in him. And he is our victory. We know him. We've seen him come through in times of trouble and difficulty in our lives. And through faith, we see him more and more. The eyes of faith. I've seen you do this, Lord. I've seen you do that. So I know that what we're facing now, you can handle it. And we see the glory of God when he shows up and we're not expecting him to. And then we can give him glory for what he's done. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know that we are not alone. We don't fight alone. Jesus, you realize Jesus prays for us? He actually prays for you and me. You say, why does Jesus have to pray? Because he is involved with us. He loves us. We are his children. Everything he is involved in. And he has the victory. And we don't use spiritual, we don't use physical weapons of guns and knives and cannons and missiles and bombs. I did say bombs, didn't I? Bombs, B-O-M-B-S. We don't use that. We don't fight that way. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are spiritual. Let me show you something. I want us to go to Colossians chapter 2. And let's begin in verse 13. He says, when you were dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your sinful nature, not talking about being physically dead, but spiritually dead, God made you alive with Christ. God made us alive spiritually. And he forgave us all our sins. And having canceled the written code, which is in regulations, that was against us and that stood opposed to us, and he took it away, nailing it to the cross. You see, victory. Victory in spirit warfare. And spiritual warfare is in knowing Jesus. It's in knowing the scripture where we just read how he nailed our sins to the cross. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, if somebody dies for you, you're going to be very gracious in your thoughts and in your actions and remembering them. You're going to remember what he did. That's how we know Christ. We read the Bible, and we read about what he's done, and it builds our faith, because if he did that, then he will also do the next thing, and we know him in that way. We know him spiritually, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, what's he talking about, your local sheriff, the person running for district attorney in your county? No, he's not talking about disarming you. He's talking about the fact that there are spirit beings that we cannot see and you don't need to see. You say, I don't want to see. Let me see. Let me see. No, you don't want to see them. No. It's nothing to play with. It's real. and he having disarmed the powers and authorities. They've got power and they've got authority. You see, you don't know who's sitting up in the Senate seat or in the or in Capitol Hill. There are spiritual authorities who intermix in the affairs of the world. But Jesus Christ made a public spectacle of them, showing that he was greater, triumphing over them by the cross, by dying on the cross for our sins and for all the sins of the world. Jesus' reputation was on the line, and he placed his life on the line so they would always trust him and come to know him. Remember, I said that victory in spiritual warfare is in knowing Jesus Christ. Not just knowing, oh, there was a Christ. No, knowing Jesus Christ, knowing what he did and how he disarmed the wicked spirits. What do you mean disarmed? Let me read it on. Triumphing over them by the cross, he died for our sins. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink and all these physical things. It is by the spiritual things. There's a reality that is greater than the reality that you can see. There's more to this than you know or I know, much more. And God is in control of it all for his glory and our good. That's what it means in knowing Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Victory in spiritual warfare is knowing him. You can read what he's done. You can see what he's done. Now, on the other hand, we have difficulties in our lives because we have a spiritual war going on in our heads, in our minds, in our thoughts. And we have thoughts that are not of God. We have what is called, what do you want to say? Strongholds. You say, what's a stronghold? Somebody's got you in a headlock? No. These are thoughts, and these are attitudes that you've had, most of us, just about all of our lives. And these strongholds are like forts. They are like forts where in the old days they'd have cannons and bows and arrows. The spiritual war that we are fighting will never be won by weapons of this world. You can't go get you an AR of this or your pistol or your whatever. Hopefully you're not into whatever. All right. These weapons, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds, the human reasoning, and to destroy the arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 5. See, there's more to it than we can see. And we have these strongholds in our minds and hearts. We have the tracks and traffic of ideas and thoughts that are not necessarily ours all the time. They can be attitudes. Attitudes even against God. That's why we need to be careful in this spiritual warfare. You say, where did that thought come from? You need to bring into control and each into captivity every thought. Don't just say zippity doo dah, zippity doo. What a wonderful thing. You got all kinds of trash going through your head. No, you take it captive to our victor, Jesus Christ. You bring God's thoughts and God's ways, and you let those things go. And especially when you feel like you've been mistreated. Anybody ever feel that way? I have. Especially when you feel like, well, they owe me. They should have done me that way. They should have paid me this or that and the other thing. And these things go over and over in our minds. And we think about what somebody did to you way long time ago. They're not even thinking about you today, but you're thinking about it, aren't you? Now I'm talking metaphorically. But it makes these tracks in our minds, these automatic thoughts that come. We give them a hotel room. We bring them fresh linen. Instead of saying, as we would say in New York, out of here, right? That Brooklyn accent. I'm not from New York, but we spent, what, 7, 8 years there. And they say, oil. They wouldn't call me Earl. They call me oil. Hi, oil. I said, okay, hi, whatever. But they would say, out of here, out of here. That's what we need to tell some of the thoughts that come in our minds. Out of here. And the devil will bring you thoughts. He will come in with a platter, gold dishes, and say, hey, you want a taste of this? Want a taste of that? And we start taking the knife and fork, cutting it up, putting it in our mind, well, it ain't bad, you know. We always deny this, we can't do this, can't do that, you know, all this stuff about Christianity, blah, blah, blah. And now we're swallowing it. We're swallowing garbage that we can't get out of our heads, can't get out of our mind. We're bringing up things that happened 30 years ago or last week. And we imagine things. And we attribute to people who are not even thinking about me or thinking about you, but we're thinking about them. We got enemies living in our heads rent free. All right? They don't have to give us a dime. And we supply our minds to them and to have it going automatically. Now I hope I'm just talking about myself. I hope I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about spiritual warfare. And if we want the victory in the spiritual warfare, then we're going to have to know Christ. And we know that Jesus said to forgive. And one of the most powerful, powerful keys to victory, strength in victory, is forgiveness. Started with Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What do you mean? They knew what they were doing. That's what we would retort and come back with. They know what they're doing. There's that hammer. There's that nail. It's in my wrist. They ought to go to jail. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Forgiveness is one of the most powerful ways to bring down strongholds, to erase those tracks that you have in your brain, to level it out, knowing Jesus, knowing how he loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in, that's the offer today. That's the reality today. Shall not perish. Why perish? Why run ourselves crazy over stuff we can't change and stuff happened to us a long time ago and how they did us and we ought to be reverent. You know, they owe us. And we want to wring every penny of payback to folks. Now, maybe I'm just out here talking because, you know, time is quit pretty soon here. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's us. He loved us. We're the world before we were saved. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can have a longer, fuller, happier life by forgiving others. By forgiving others. You can rejoice more. You can be happy. You don't have to, you know, sing the blues. I've never seen, I've said this before, I love birds. I love, you know, I'm looking up through the window now and we'll see birds. And I never seen a bird singing the blues. They all have a nice chipper sound. Chip, 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 chip. And they're happy to give them a worm and they're good to go. Now we want payback. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And we can be happy that God's got it taken care of. We don't have to carry that no more. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Victory in spiritual warfare is in knowing Jesus. And Jesus, he was happy. How do you know he's happy, Pastor? Well, I'm running late now. But you know what they did? We got to have Lord's Supper in a little bit here. In fact, I ought to go there now. Come with me. All right. But before you come with me, I want you to listen to a song. I've been talking a lot about how Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, how he's forgiven us of all our sins, and therefore we should forgive others, how he's loved us and sacrificed himself for us, and we ought to be able to sacrifice ourselves for others. He says, love one another as I have loved you. And he's given us salvation. He's given us Jesus' righteousness, knowing Jesus. Knowing how he bled and died is our key to victory and being that way for others. There's a song that really touched me this last week. I want us to listen to before we go to the Lord's Supper. It's a song entitled Nothing. You say, wait a minute, couldn't have been a little bit more creativity in the music? Whoever wrote and sang this song, couldn't they come up with a title at least? Rather than saying nothing. But maybe they're trying to make a point about spiritual warfare, about knowing Jesus. Listen, would you please? Listen to Nothing.
What could I do to forfeit and lose all of this grace that you've given me? What could I say to push you away? God, what could make you ashamed of me? What could pull me from your loving arms? What could separate me from your heart? There's
There's nothing that can keep us apart from God. He loves us. He loves us so. There's nothing. Father, I just ask that we would think about all you've done for us in Jesus. The victory over our sins and failures. Oh, Father, never let anything come between us and you. Oh, Father, cleanse our minds and hearts of bitterness and help us to have nothing in us that is not like Jesus. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do and are doing in our hearts and minds. Strengthen us in your faith. Strengthen us in Jesus to be able to carry out this warfare that you have placed us in, knowing that you have the victory through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, those strongholds, those wrong way of thinking and reacting, oh, Lord, bring them down. Oh, Lord, fill us with the mind of Jesus. As we partake of now the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus, let's turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. Now imagine giving thanks, knowing that you're about to be killed, that you're about to fulfill the Passover lamb. You, the Lamb of God. You knowing that you've been done wrong, that you have only done what's right, and you're going to be killed. In fact, more than killed, you are going to lay down your life. You're not going to let any man take it from you because you do it willingly to show the world what love looks like. You voluntarily, Jesus, did that, and we thank you. He took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it, his body, and gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. Notice it's thanksgiving, thanksgiving, thanksgiving. Notice what the thinking is. Knowing what the victory is. You know, it takes a lot to let somebody do you wrong. It takes the Spirit of God. This is power. This is resurrection power. Before he was resurrected, before he was killed, before he was sacrificed, look at the power. It takes power to give your life. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, even you, Judas, even you, Peter, who will deny me. Now, he didn't say that at that time, but there could have been a track being set in his mind. To be played over and over again. A stronghold that would not have been right. Oh, it would have been right legally. To want revenge. But over and over, there could be this stronghold that Jesus could have had. The tracks, the same repeating of the wrong that was done to him. But he gave thanks. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For even the sins of those who mistreat you and misuse you. This is Christianity. And I need the Lord's help. I need to know Jesus to be able to do that. We can't do this on our own. Victory In spiritual warfare, Jesus is at the table, and I tell you, this is spiritual warfare. This is the Holy Spirit working through Jesus to give thanks, knowing what was going to happen to him. Victory in spiritual warfare is in knowing Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus. Here is knowing him. Right here, right now. This is Jesus. But often many. He says, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's house. He was looking forward. He was not looking to the past. He was not looking to the wrong that was done to him. And he had every right to. He was looking to the future. I tell you, I will not drink this again, this fruit of the vine until that day. Oh, happy day. I drink it anew with you. Anew, when everything is going to be made brand new. In my Father's kingdom. And when they had wept, he sang a hymn. Are y'all reading the Bible here? Y'all better check me out. When they had sung a hymn, when they had praised the Lord in the face of knowing Jesus, knowing that he would be put to death very shortly, that one of his disciples would betray him, stab him in the back. Could you believe that? Stabbing him in the back. And yet he's praying and he's praising. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Praise the Lord. Oh, Father, we ask you to bless this bread and that it be more than just bread for us and to us. That we would be satisfied in you. That Jesus would make us happy. Not more money. Not more stuff, but more Jesus. Let us be satisfied and filled with this bread and be happy. More than a happy birthday cake. But we'd be happy and satisfied in eating of your body. And that when we drink, we ask you to bless this wine, that when we drink of it, we would, oh, be so thankful that you so loved not just the world, but that you so loved me, Earl Williams. What's your name? That you so loved. That you gave the blood of your son. Your wine for our lives. And Lord, help us to be satisfied and happy in Christ alone. If we had no other blessing, give us Jesus. Give us Jesus and let us be happy in your Son and satisfied in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing one of our old favorite songs, In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone.
When fears are still, when striving who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness.